Good morning. I feel like the man who dominates crosstalk is not a good title to have.
Why not?
Because I feel like that's saying like it's an open space for all of us and one person is like hogging it.
Oh, I meant it in a positive way, if that helps.
Oh, well, thank you then.
Yeah, no problem.
Sure.
And that's why I gave you a magnet as your present to go to the combine.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It says, it's Hank Hill. And it says, I don't have an anger problem, I have an idiot problem.
I just felt like that was particularly appropriate given the last week or so.
Put it on your laptop.
I don't know if that's the best idea. All right, so obviously a lot of discussion about prospects, and we'll get to that. But how much other NFL business takes place at the combine that has nothing to do with the draft? Or little to do with the draft?
A ton. I mean, there will be meetings kind of getting the lay of the land for free agency this week. Every agent in the world is out here. You know, there will be a lot of trade discussion, kicking around ideas. This is a huge networking time for a lot of people around the league, too. You know, if they're trying to make connections or have a job lined up in the future, if maybe they feel like their time's running out somewhere. So, I mean, like, just about anything that could go on generally happens out here in Indy. So there's a little bit of everything related to NFL business that occurs out here, because it is an opportunity where they get everybody in one spot. But it's a really unique setup relative to the rest of what the NFL is and how it operates throughout its calendar. And honestly, I mean, it's really unique relative to how the other leagues operate and the way that they're around each other.
Who are, when you get out there, who are the like three people that you're like, I have to talk to these three people before I leave? And I don't necessarily need to give them away sources or anything, but like, I know you talk to a lot of people.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of times it's just there'll be an agent friend I have who I want to check in with. You know, it's usually a good opportunity for me to, if you want to just talk about even every year, knowing, hey, I want to check in with that person. Like, I mean, I know I want to stop by and see David Cantor while he's at Prime 47. You know, I know while I'm out here, I'll want to bump into Ian Rappaport, who we're going to have on the show tomorrow. Dane Brugler is always somebody that I want to see when I'm out here. But, yeah, then there's always other people that I want to catch up with, maybe on the down low a little bit. But it's just such a – more than anything, it's places you want to be. So you want to go stop by Prime. You want to stop by St. Elmo's. You want to go to certain places – and just be in the atmosphere and, like, let the night carry you kind of thing.
Do you think St. Elmo's, the establishment, is better than the vastly overrated 80s movie?
Yeah, I think it's better than the 80s movie. I do not think it's better than the song Man in Motion.
Yes, that is a fantastic song, and that is a great point by you, Bobby. Now, maybe I'm just being naive about all of this, but when the rumblings were, I think from Clarence Hill, that Pickens' team said the negotiations start at $30 million per year, me, I'm like, sounds good, let's do that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that that's more – so here's the deal. The franchise tag this year is $28 million. Yep. It's a 120% increase for the second time. That would mean that the second tag is 33.1. So a lot of times agents say if you have tagged him already, then the floor, the very bottom that you could ever even reasonably suggest – would be the average of the two franchise tags. Like, it has to start there.
Okay.
And the average of the two franchise tags is right around $30 million. And so because of that, I think when it says it starts at 30, I think that's more like, here's the floor. If you come in and say anything under this, we're going to feel disrespected. So I don't even think it's their signing for that. I think it's more, that's where you better, like, even if you're trying to start on one end, you better be starting here, because we're going to be on another end of the spectrum completely.
So I've kind of thought the comp, just in terms of price, would be something like McLaurin getting $32 million a year. Do you think, or do you get the sense, or maybe even you know, that even that would be too low?
No, I think that that's it. We'll hear a little bit more about some of that stuff, I think, as the week goes on. You're going to have a lot of agents come into town today. Yesterday, it was mainly teams that got into town. Today, it'll be agents and some combine players and different things like that. But I think once they're out here and they start taking meetings, and you're going to start getting a sense of where things are. I think 32, 33 sounds roughly fine to me. Like, I think that that's about where I would guess it would come down. But I also know that if I'm his agent, if I'm representing George Pickens, I'm walking into the negotiation, and as you often ask for more than what you're willing to settle for, I would walk in there and say, you're going to have a hard time showing me a receiver who was better than him last year.
Right.
And if I've tapped into it once, I can tap into it again. So we want 40. And I could see that that's a 40 versus 30 type of discussion, and then maybe you're negotiating to 35.
Man, I would hate for him to negotiate himself out of a place that he likes. Like that, and I know like the money is all that matters, but in a place where he is useful, he will be a key component to the entire thing. But I understand, got to get paid. And then you end up with like the Raiders, and but you got you'll have Fernando Mendoza. Yeah,
that's so true.
That'll be a fun thing to go through there. We just saw that the GM for the Dolphins is like, hey, everything's on the table, including a possibility of a trade with Tua.
Yeah.
How much would
good
that
luck with that?
How much would that shake things up around there?
I mean, that would be pretty significant. I think everybody's looking around, kind of wondering what's going to happen with and Tua in general. Both of them being guys who it seems like have hit these crossroads in their career and are probably in need of a reset. I don't know. I would be terrified to take on Tua Tagovailoa just because of all the risks that are associated with his durability and things. Kyler, to me, feels like Kyler could be the next Darnold or one of these next guys who kind of revives later in his career if he just gets in the right spot, because I think he's clearly immensely talented. But no, it'll be I would expect that they'll try to figure out some way to get out from under Tua, and if they're gonna have a whole fire sale, then I'd be interested to know, what are you planning on doing with Minkah Fitzpatrick? Are you gonna cut him? Are you gonna trade him? If you're trading him, what's the price point look like? That would be something that I'd want to kick the tires on at that point.
Do you have any interest level in Diego Pavia's 40 and shuttle times because he made a bet with Johnny Football?
I have an interest in knowing what his 40 time is, I guess, just to be able to project out what speed he'll run from his car to the front door when delivering pizzas, because he's
wow. I like that, though. I like that. We are going to be talking.
Sorry, about... he's too small, and he's not got enough physical, like, big time tools to be able to perform things. I love the moxie. I love all that. That's great. But I mean, like, this is the end, probably.
One of the guys we're going to be talking about here in just a little bit is Kenyon Sadiq. And I heard you this morning say that Daniel Jeremiah is very high on him and thinks that he's going to be a riser at the combine. I watched him and I was like, he's a faster, more explosive Jake Ferguson. I'm like, I was asking people, can I compare this dude to AJ Brown because of the stocky build? And I'm just kind of curious, like, how much you think this guy might wow people this week.
Yeah, I mean, he's somebody who physically is very impressive, and this has become like the new norm for tight ends. Not like the norm necessarily, but in terms of just, you've got these physical marvels that play the tight end position, and a lot of times teams look for, all right, if you're kind of a bigger receiver but you're super athletic, let's see if we can put you into this tight end fit. Whether you were, you know, over the last several years, Vernon Davis, Eric Ebron, you know, obviously, like we're talking about here, Kenyon Sadiq, and then even to a lesser extent, people who wanted, like, put Evan Ingram at tight end when he was a receiver, and then ultimately developed that because they thought, man, that skill set and those traits mismatch at tight end because of the way that defenses have typically played tight ends. And they've had to adjust to it. They have to adjust to those tight ends becoming more vertical threats and things like that. And so, Kenyon Sadiq, I imagine he is going to impress a lot of people with the physical traits. And so when he gets out here and impresses people, that's probably going to cause him to rise a little bit. And you know, get a lot of value. Kyle Pitts did the same thing, you know, a few years back. And so he'll test well, I imagine, regardless of which drills he ends up doing, which ones he participates in. But he's going to be somebody that some GM will just fall in love with and, you know, make their priority of like, we got to get that guy.
Can you walk me through, and I've kind of asked Broadus this question before, can you walk me through a little bit more the thought process maybe of some of the decision makers of, man, he has amazing physical tools and ran these specific times, but also I watched the tape and it doesn't always show up there. How come sometimes those specific numbers kind of dwarf the importance of the tape at times?
Because I think you're also talking about your level of comfort in the guys you have doing the evaluation of the person and doing the evaluation of the student. Tyler Smith was impressive physical traits who his tape looked really sloppy, and you wondered, all right, how much is he going to be able to clean some of these things up? And the work they did with, I mean, Klein Kubiak was the area scout at the time for them. He's now a national scout, but he was the area scout for Tulsa at the time and had done a lot of work to figure out, all right, this is, we understand what kind of a student he is, and we understand what kind of a worker he is. And so then you can kind of project out some of that a little bit. But you've got to be able to trust your evaluation of how do they work. And that's why, as much as some people like Choppy will roll their eyes at it and stuff over the does he love football and how committed is he and those sort of intangibles that sometimes people roll their eyes at, for a lot of these teams, they think that that's the missing element to determining how much you tap into your potential, and that they view that, you know, everybody in this league is super talented, so you got to find margins wherever you can. And if effort and you know, what kind, how they study and how they work is an area where you can separate them a little bit, then that's really valuable. So I think in a lot of instances, people just will write it off to he's young or he hasn't gotten in the right place yet. He needs to get within our parameters, and then we'll be able to tap into what this potential is.
The this week, how much of a priority do you think the Cowboys are making of trying to acquire more picks, or do you think they're in the mindset of, no, we're going to rock with what we have and use our financials to be able to add some other free agency pieces?
It's such a silly thing, I know, but it's the whole Steven line of they're open for business.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much they're just going to actively start working the phones. They're going to listen, though. If somebody's talking to them, or you kind of get an idea of like, hey, we might be interested in moving back, like the reports about Cleveland at 6 and things like that, then maybe you find a match. Or maybe Minnesota.
Oh, no.
Ty Simpson out here. We're worried he's not going to get down to us at 18, and we want to move on from J.J. McCarthy. Let's go up to 12. Dallas, here's our 2 third rounders to move from 12 to 18. And then you're picking 18, 20, and you got a couple in the third round. And so they'll listen on it. Steven sounded yesterday like they were completely open to whatever resources were available to them to be able to give Christian Parker the tools he needs to get the defense fixed. And so whether that's trading for players, trading draft capital to increase your number of selections, playing in free agency, I think that all of that is on the table for them. And I don't know how much they'll just actively pick up the phone and say, hey, who wants our pick? But if they start having conversations around her, they start hearing where some things are going. A lot of times those work out themselves on draft night.
Man, excellent stuff. Excellent start. I know Broadus is about to get there, and the rest of the guys from your show will be there for the rest of the week. Thank you very much, good sir. He didn't say
bring Kevin back a magnet or something, bro.
Man, dang.
Jeez, this guy.
That kind of hurt my feelings.
Wow.
Just a little bit.
Awesome.